state this again, because I don't like talking about myself every day on the show and what's happening, but we're forced to because, as you've seen, we're national news, international news. If they can take us down, they set the precedent to take everyone else down. Media Matters, run by George Soros, the admitted Nazi collaborator. He said that on 60 Minutes. The news says that's a conspiracy theory.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right.
George Soros' Media Matters, they created a list of sites that post some of my content on YouTube. And here it is. And most of these I never even heard of. And they said, oh, look, they're posting his content, take him down. And YouTube did. I mean, when Media Matters snaps its fingers and says, jump, Google, a $1 trillion company, ask how high.
The potential censorship of free speech, I think, goes to the core of our country's freedoms.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away. I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild.
Now, I can show you the headlines where they say they want to own the name Alex Jones. They want to own Real Alex Jones on X. They admit they want to set that precedent.
The whole idea of now we are going to have corporations censor speech based upon their definition of fake news, based on their definition of hate speech, is opening up a Pandora's box.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
Take him out of this discourse, of this misinformation, of this peddling of lies, and make sure he can't do it again.
The Justice Department, back to deep state, has launched a new vicious attack on myself and InfoWars. They're attempting to seize control of operations October 17th because they know coming up on November 13th, InfoWars is going up for sale at auction, and they're worried patriots are going to buy it, and the operation will continue on. They are pulling all the stops, have introduced a lawsuit, the Democrat Party back group, in Travis County with judges they think they control.
They literally, this has been adjudicated in the Supreme Court, the Texas Supreme Court, the Fifth Circuit, all of it, are saying they own my name and own me, and that, like I'm a corporation, they want a receiver appointed that owns me forever. That's why they didn't want to settle. They wanted it to be non-dischargeable. And when they shut down InfoWars, if they're successful, it doesn't matter. Anything but $1.5 billion, they say they own me.
What was an indentured servant? If I'm an English youth and want to get to America, I will sign a contract saying that I will give 7 years of labor to a master who will pay my the price of a ticket to get across the Atlantic on a ship. But when I sign that contract, I'm in for 7 years of extremely tough labor. I might not survive it because that master, I'm just a piece of property. He can do with me what he wants. I don't work hard enough, he can beat me. If he doesn't like the way I work, he can sell me to a neighbor.
Indentured servants accounted for three-quarters of the 130,000 English who came to the Chesapeake in the 1600s.
Now, the courts have all ruled you can't do this. It's cut and dry. But they don't care because they believe they control the courts in Travis County, which they're now filing in. The Democratic Party has officially. They want me off the air when President Trump is president-elect. And they're moving to shut us down now on October 17th. I'll sleep on somebody's couch and do this broadcast. But the issue is, if I don't fight them in federal court and state court now, they will absolutely hamstring what I'm doing if they're successful and set this dangerous precedent. I've been up here like a baby bird chirping, begging for food because I don't want to give up. And I hate begging, but I hate losing to the New World Order, and we're so close to victory, a lot worse. telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
It's Monday, October 7th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It is wonderful to see you all today, and boy oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. I'll be here with you for the next couple of days breaking down what's going on with Kamala Harris, who's just decided to spend her time doing a very disgusting podcast. We have an announcement of more aid going to overseas nations while the people of North Carolina are suffering. We've got a special guest coming up for you today that's been on the ground there. And I want to talk to you as well about something called managed retreat. We'll get into that probably in the third hour at this stage. And what I think could very well be a proposal that comes out a lot of these quote-unquote climate catastrophes. So we'll get into that a little bit later on today, but I want to show you Kamala appeared on this podcast while the people of North Carolina are suffering. She decided to go on this podcast. This is I'm going to say this as carefully as I possibly can because I am aware that there are decent people watching this broadcast. It's a podcast that's dedicated to extremely explicit material, women discussing things that should really never leave a woman's mouth. And it's a very distasteful, in my opinion, podcast and dedicated to explicit sexual content. And I mean seriously explicit. And so Kamala goes on this podcast and the host asks her, oh, well, why did you choose to come on this podcast? And she says, oh, because you talk about the real things, the real issues that people care about. And you've got an entire region right now that's been absolutely devastated by a hurricane. I just met someone over the weekend who came back from, well, I didn't just meet them, I know them, but I saw them over the weekend who just came back from North Carolina. And the words that he said, and I quote, were, it is a graveyard. It is a graveyard. As the water is subsiding and starting to dry, which, by the way, makes cleanup efforts very difficult as well because everything starts to dry and get hard. Bodies are starting to show up in that rubble. It is absolutely devastating. And this person said it's far worse than what you think and it's far worse than what you're seeing. And so Kamala Harris during this time, despite doing, you know, a little bit of a photo op, you know, pretending she's out there giving food to people or whatever, you know, supplies, you would have all probably seen that video of her doing that momentarily. But the bulk of her time was spent, you know, I would say preparing for this podcast with real issues that people care about. But there is a moment in that podcast, I'm not going to subject you to the whole thing because it really is terrible and infuriating to see her focusing on this rather than the people that are suffering in North Carolina. And by the way, we have another hurricane coming this week. We'll talk about that as well. She says these are the real things that that Americans care about. But there is a clip from there. where she asks her the question whether she can think of any examples, and this comes from a previous hearing that Kamala was in and the man couldn't answer, but she says, you know, are there any examples of where men are, you know, forced or told to do with their bodies like women are that you can think of? So let's take a look at that clip, Kamala Call Her Daddy, clip 26.
I want to pose this question more to you and the daddy gang, but mm-hmm. one of the biggest conversations in this year's election revolves around a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to take a moment, mm-hmm. and can we try mm-hmm. to think of any law that gives the government the power to make a decision?
I know what you're going to ask.
About a man's body.
Let's no. No.
Is there no. any law?
No. No. It's no.
No, no. Maybe a draft? A draft gives the government the authority to tell a man to do what to do with his body. A draft that, by the way, has been floated in multiple circles. You know, we've had discussions of, oh, maybe we need to bring back a draft. Maybe that's what we need to do in the US so that American sons and daughters can go die for Middle Eastern wars or Ukraine or whatever the case may be. We've had similar conversations in Germany, the UK, Australia. Multiple countries have said maybe we need to bring back a draft, but that's not an example of the government telling men what to do with their own bodies. The government telling a man to go and die so that the military-industrial complex can get richer so that these globalist wars that are being orchestrated to accelerate the Great Reset is not an example of the government being able to tell men what to do with their bodies. By the way, it's women too, so liberal women, you get your chance. If things continue to accelerate, you really get your chance for equality. You can go die for Ukraine. Woo! The stupidity of this woman, or I should say this, the perceived stupidity of this woman cannot be overstated, but the reality is she's not stupid, she's absolutely dangerous. We might play a clip from Tucker saying exactly that later, but I want to show you something very, very telling. It's in pictures 22 and 23, the audience response. And this is the response from the audience who actually regularly watches this Call Her Daddy podcast. And you've got one person saying thousands are dying in NC and this is what she's doing. Is she going to need the earpiece for this too? And this is where I never watch again. So you see, this is actually someone that watches this broadcast and they're saying, I will never watch this again. Another one saying, I don't think someone who just signed a $125 million deal really has the right judgment to be discussing the current state of the world right now. This is, I want to emphasize, a very left-leaning audience. There's no way that conservative women would be watching this podcast. Another one, love your podcast, Alex. However, this isn't it. Disappointed. How can we praise a VP running for president that has done so much wrong and continues to do so much wrong and people still think she deserves to be president? People, wake up. If you have kids and want them to have a better future and still vote for her, you are the problem. And another one, all while NC is underwater and destroyed. I'm so disappointed. So you can see from the tone of these people who are replying, they are predominantly fans of this broadcast, of this podcast. Podcast, I should say. And again, this podcast, there is no chance the true conservative women are watching it. I can promise you, I don't encourage you to go and watch it. But what I will say is, you know, if you just have a brief look on X, some people are talking about what this podcast usually talks about. No self-respecting woman would watch this podcast, which means that you don't have... You generally wouldn't have people that vote for Trump watching this podcast. You'd have liberals watching it. And this is their response. They are saying, this is so disappointing. We have people suffering in North Carolina. This is what she's doing her time, spending her time doing. Look at the destruction she's caused to this country. This isn't it. I love your podcast, but I don't think I can watch again. So even liberals, so as much as the media wants to manufacture this support for Kamala Harris, you see the response of liberals. And I really mean it. You'd have to be a degenerate to be interested in this podcast. So you've got people who are interested in seriously degenerate content that are speaking up. And if you think back to last week when we played that clip of that young man who was crying and saying, I am an avid Kamala supporter. I love Kamala, and I just cannot believe that she has abandoned us like this. I love my people, and I don't understand. And we had a discussion about this last week, these people, and I'm actually glad Kamala went on this podcast, as distasteful and disgusting as it was, and what a stupid decision. She really is showing her true colors to her supporters. She really is showing her true colors to liberals. Liberals are finally realizing the true colors of their party, who leaves them to suffer, who just does fake photo ops. And, you know, we played you that clip last week of Kamala walking with her official jacket, you know, and pretending to have a conversation with someone and, you know, okay, the cameras are rolling, let's pretend we're talking and walk. Liberals are finally starting to see something is very wrong with this woman. And there was, I don't have the clip of it, but there was a, oh, here she is. Yeah. Because she cares so much, guys. And she always does that little elbow to the person next to her, like, oh, you and I are friends. Oh, yeah, let's touch elbows because that's safer. Oh, yes, let's wait until the cameras are rolling and let's pretend to have a conversation. What are they talking about? Not much, really. I can guarantee you that. Let's just look concerned. Let me close my hands like this so I look concerned. I'm going to point over there like we're talking about something that happened over there. I'm not really listening. I don't really care about people. This is evidenced by the number of people who used to work for me that have testified to the fact that I'm an absolute horror to work with. She's had incredibly high staff turnover rates because this woman is a monster. And going on a podcast like the one that she just did in the midst of a national crisis shows you just what sort of a monster she is. We're on this show, we're talking about things that I chose your podcast because this is the stuff that people really care about. No, Kamala, the stuff that people really care about is the fact that you've given more money to illegal immigrants who, by the way, we're going to talk about in the moment. We have, you know, increasing terror threat. And I mean legitimate terrorist threats inside this nation right now, because of the criminals that you've let over the border. People care about the fact that they can't afford milk. I watched a video of a liberal just the other day crying about the fact that she can't afford milk, or she can't afford coffee outside, so she has to make a coffee and the cost of milk is so high. And, you know, I mean, this is the stuff that people care about. They care about being able to prosper, even though liberals don't realize that they care about prospering. Once they can't afford milk, they go, oh, hang on a minute, I'd like to be able to afford milk. People care about their safety. People care about their security. People care about a government's response when there is a national crisis or a national emergency or some sort of catastrophe, not concerning themselves with other countries' priorities and sex podcasts while your own people are suffering. It's almost like she is just purposely showing everyone how evil she is. But here's the thing. I really think, you know, as much as I criticize liberals and as much as I think they are seriously messed up in the head, people, they really are. There's something mentally severely wrong with them. Maybe there's a glimmer of hope, guys. Maybe, you know, looking at these comments on this show's on this podcast, you know, Instagram account, it really does seem to me that they are starting to wake up to this. Love your podcast, but this isn't it. While NC is underwater and destroyed, I'm disappointed. I'll never watch again. So even, and look how many likes, by the way, are on these comments. You know, and this is where I never watch again. 858 people from this person's fan base predominantly would be. You know, sure, there would be some conservatives going on there to, you know, show their disgust. But these comments are not from conservatives. These comments are from their own base. And so I think that that is incredibly telling. And I think that, that should give us hope. That's the podcast host there. Trump 2024 button. That's great. That's great. 8,400 likes. Kamala, well, she got 7,400 likes there. So she's still got some support. But it is encouraging to see some of these liberal women saying this is not on. Now, we also have a very, very interesting thing that's just broken. We have Kamala Harris's campaign just blasting 70,000 ASU students with unsolicited texts, potentially breaking federal TCPA laws and privacy regulations by abusing confidential data. So you can see we've got that that text from Kamala. Trying to see which Kamala election interference, I think I've called it. It's a black text that all these students received. She says, "Hi, Sun Devils, it's Kamala Harris. I wanted to remind you that the deadline to register to vote in Arizona is Monday, October 7. Thanks to record turnout among college students in 2020, I'm Vice President of the United States Today. Tim Walz and I are the underdogs in this election, but student voters could make the difference. We need your support to win." And so she tells them to register to vote. You must not let anybody take your power from you, she says. So I'm not, sure exactly how the laws around this work, but this particular person is saying that this is a violation of federal law, TCPA violations. How did the Kamala Harris campaign get access to all of these students' personal numbers? How did they obtain this data? And so this person is saying that the Telephone Consumer Protection Act is clear. Sending text messages to wireless numbers requires prior express consent from the recipient when using an automatic telephone dialing system. This is especially important for political campaigns that rely on mass outreach methods like texting. According to your post, Harris's campaign texted 70,000 Arizona State University students using information from a confidential state database. Assuming 50% of the recipients did not support her or had not consented to these messages, 35,000 individuals could have had their rights violated. And so it goes on to talk about some of the fines involved with that. If they're found to have violated, you could have potential fines up to $17.5 million because it's $500 per violation. And it's also a possible violation of Arizona state law, which protects individuals from unsolicited text messages. If the campaign used confidential student data from Arizona State University, this could be a breach of privacy laws. So this is very, very interesting, and I hope that the people that are on this, take action, because if there is, and I mean, really, what's $17.5 million to the Kamala Harris campaign? That's church change for these people. They get millions and millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions from the deep state that wants them in, right? So really it's church change. But the point is the moral scandal here. The continuous moral scandal of anything that's related to Kamala Harris, you know, Douglas Emhoff as well, recently exposed. Let me just clarify that. There's been allegations made that he slapped a woman some time ago, his ex-girlfriend. And it's really interesting because we haven't really heard a peep about it from the liberal media. Not one major story on this. And, you know, if this was, just think about if this was Trump or anyone related to Trump or a conservative, it would be on a cycle 24 hours a day for at least 7 days. That's all that we would hear about. Someone slapped a woman. And for someone who constantly claims to care about women and their rights and so on and so forth, you would think that the Democratic Party would be interested in this story, at least exploring it or even debunking it. But there hasn't really been a peep about it. So that is, I think, the biggest story in all of this. Not that it's not significant if he actually did abuse, physically assault a woman, But I think the bigger story here is that the liberal media isn't even touching it. And this is a huge story. It's a huge story. And the fact that they're not touching it, the fact that they haven't made an effort yet to debunk it or to address it, or, you know, that generally tells me it's probably true. Because this is how they operate. They protect their own. They ignore the scandals. They ignore the fraud. They ignore all the things that are wrong with their own candidates. And they just focus on lying about their candidates. Of course, MSNBC says we're doing everything we can to get Kamala Harris elected. That was another undercover video that just came out. So they will do absolutely anything for their candidates, except if we have a legitimate scandal, that they just pretend that it isn't even going on. It's absolutely amazing. Now, the officials from the FBI and DHS have issued a public service announcement warning of potential terror threats and attacks in the U.S. around the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attacks on Israel, which occurred on October 7, 2023. Foreign terrorist organizations have called on their supporters to incite violence in the West. Now, I don't have evidence of them calling on their supporters. I have a very hard time trusting official messaging from the government, but I can tell you that we've already had an example of this in a church just over the weekend. So basically, the FBI and DHS are concerned that this anniversary, along with any significant escalation in the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict, could motivate violent extremists and hate crime perpetrators. And they say that extremists may view this anniversary as an opportunity for high-profile illegal activity. Now, to say that terrorists don't exist would be stupid. Of course they exist. Who's been letting them into the country, though? Who's been letting people that hate America and want to destroy the West into the country? I think that person's name is Kamala Harris, because Joe Biden is a vegetable and has nothing to do with it at this point. Kamala Harris has been letting terrorists into the country. It is hundreds of thousands of dangerous criminals. We have, you know, multiple people that have said that there is a very high possibility that there are terror cells, and I mean people who are involved in sort of gathering intelligence on the ground, terrorist cells. We have Dr. Pete Chambers, who recently told me that Tren de Aragua is being given access to critical infrastructure in Texas. So who's doing that? Who's allowing these terror cells to proliferate? Who was responsible for coordinating the 9 surface-to-air missiles that came across the border and were reportedly intended for President Trump? Well, it's the current administration, surely, because how else do you coordinate something like that? You don't just casually bring in 9 surface-to-air missiles across the border. That takes an incredible amount of coordination. So after the break, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what just happened at a church in Texas over the weekend, because things are starting to escalate. And I don't know who's directing these people. They may be acting of their own volition. There may be, cooperation with these terrorist cells. But the point is, October is going to be a very, very dangerous month. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. I am here today for the next couple of days filling in for Harrison Smith. It's an honor to be here. You can find my work at zmedia.com. That's zeemedia.com. We also have a Zmedia channel on band.video and also X at zeemedia. That is my handle on X. So just before the break, we were talking about how the officials from the FBI and DHS have issued a public service announcement warning of potential terror threats and attacks in the U.S. around the one-year anniversary of October 7th. So there's a number of reasons that this could be happening. Obviously, we have the U.S. unlimited support for Israel, The neighboring countries are very, very upset about that, obviously. They have different opinions about October 7. Obviously, these countries are all at war with each other. And so with a wide open border where absolutely anyone that wants to get in can, naturally you would have very, very dangerous people coming in. And there have been multiple exposés over the past few months of just the sheer number of criminals that have come into the country. So this is not a surprise, really, that we're starting to see extreme violence from some of these people. They're not all Middle Eastern. We have Trendaragua taking over apartment, Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment blocks, Trendaragua terrorizing people, being given access to critical infrastructure. Someone's coordinating this. We obviously have the 9 surface-to-air missiles that came across the border, as reported by Mike Adams and Dr. Pete Chambers, confirmed this. This is confirmed intel. Who on earth coordinated this? This is not something that you just casually bring these missiles across. Someone was involved in that operation, someone in a position of authority. And so there has been a facilitation of terrorists being allowed into this country. And so now they're warning that this could escalate. Of course, the reason they're saying is the October 7 anniversary. It could also be someone coordinating with these terrorist groups for some sort of an October surprise. I mean, they're willing to create weather that wipes out entire regions, or manipulate weather that wipes out entire regions. What makes us think they wouldn't be working with some of these terrorist cells? I don't have evidence of that. I'm just saying their track record. Just look at Hillary Clinton's track record. Look at Kamala Harris's track record. Look at all of the corruption, all of the crime of the Biden family. And these people, this administration has let dangerous people into this country, whatever the reason, even if they weren't working with them, okay? Even if they weren't working with them, they have let these people in. And so just yesterday, it was reportedly Epicenter Church in Burnett, law enforcement in Burnett County. Law enforcement are actually on the hunt for these two men. And this is reportedly the statement that was issued by the church. So I have seen the reports that law enforcement, official reports that law enforcement are on the hunt for these two men. This is the reported response from the church that I'm going to read you. It says, security personnel noticed a suspicious man upon moving near the cars in the parking lot. Upon closer inspection, the man was seen placing a rock near an exterior door, seemingly trying to block it from opening. When security confronted him, he ran toward a white van. At that moment, another individual wearing a Muslim turban exited the van armed with an AR-15 style rifle. In response, security opened fire on the armed man. The van then fled north in the direction of Lampasas. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office has issued a description of the suspects, two dark-skinned males in a white minivan wearing white or off-white headdresses and armed with rifles. So you have these two criminals, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and whoever is actually running this administration, because it certainly isn't those two, that have facilitated now actual attacks on churches in America. And they didn't successfully complete their attack. Apparently, the security guard, and I wasn't aware that churches had security guards, but maybe they all should now. Someone that was responsible for security actually shot at these two men once they saw the weapon, and that was a deterrent, and they fled. So I would say to people to be extremely vigilant. You don't know whether terror cells are being activated, or they're just fed up, or they legitimately hate the West, because there are many of those people from that region who hate the West. That is certain. They just hate the West and they want to see America burn. And so maybe they want to cause chaos ahead of this election, because Donald Trump getting in may actually be a good thing for America. It will be a good thing for America, and they don't want that either. It's a very real possibility. Even though Donald Trump getting in might mean peace for the Middle East, they don't want what's best for America. So all of these things are a possibility. People need to be on extremely high alert. My recommendation is to have plans with your communities. Know where you're going, you know, have alternative communication solutions between you all. Know where you're going to meet if there is some sort of an event. Keep each other on alert. Tell each other if you start seeing suspicious vehicles in the area, suspicious people in the area. Communities really need to band together right now if we're starting to get attacks of this nature happening, or attempted attacks of this nature happening at churches. At churches. The other thing that's really interesting that just happened was Kamala Harris was quizzed on Israel, and I saw the responses to this clip on social media, and people are so used to her seeming so stupid that they're just like, oh, it's just word salad, it's just stupidity. But I want people to really, really listen to what Kamala Harris says here. Play clip 12, please, team.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
You hear that? So people are sharing this again. They're saying, oh, she's so stupid. She doesn't know what she's saying. She is just word salad after word salad. This woman is so dumb. And I don't know if you all remember, but I know it's an old clip, but I want to air it again. Team, if we can play clip 11, Tucker speaking about Kamala Harris.
Consider what he intends to do if we give him power again. Consider his explicit intent to set free violent extremists who assaulted those law enforcement officers at the Capitol. His explicit intent to jail journalists, political opponents, and anyone he sees as the enemy.
Can I just interject here for a second? This woman's really scary. She could easily get elected president. She's much more skillful than I have ever seen. She's a liar on the deepest level. The things she is saying right now are not just untrue. They're the opposite of the truth, which is the hallmark of evil. She's an extremist. She'll say anything. She's much more like Gavin Newsom than I ever realized. I could go through a whole litany of why what she's saying is not true. It wasn't an armed mob. There's not one person inside the Capitol with a firearm, period. The only person who was shot in the Capitol was an unarmed woman shot by one of Nancy Pelosi's bodyguards. So again and again, she's telling us that she fought the cartels to secure the border. She's the border czar, and the border is controlled by the cartels.
She argued that Donald Trump...
We can end it there.
Quote.
So he goes on to talk about how he's worked with prosecutors his whole life, and this woman is dangerous. And he says, I know a dangerous person when I see one, essentially, and I'm looking at one right now. So, again, when people look at Kamala Harris, they think that she's really unintelligent, it's a word salad, she doesn't know what she's saying. But I think Tucker's a pretty good judge of character, and he's saying this woman is dangerous. She could even go on to win the election. Now, I don't think she will unless they cheat, because she's just shown herself to be a completely uncaring, you know, horrible human with very little morals, going on sex podcasts while people are dying in North Carolina. You know, it's just pile on top of pile on top of pile on. But consider Tucker's words as we play that clip again, clip 12.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
She is telling you that what is going on in that region is as a result of, after going around in circles quite a few times, our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region. She is telling you that they are very much in control of Netanyahu, of Israel, that they are very much involved in what is happening there, and it's not Netanyahu ignoring them. That is what she's saying, and I think that that is something that a lot of people have missed. So, considering what we just saw about the FBI and the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security warning about these, potential October 7 inspired terror attacks, something actually happening over the weekend. And Kamala Harris openly admitting there that her administration has a lot to do with what's going on over there, and their advocacy is the results of what's going on there is a result of their advocacy for what needs to happen in the region. Why would we think that perhaps they're not stoking the flames to further incite chaos here? I mean, just think about how complex this is. Think about how complex the multi-pronged approach of the collapse of America that they're trying to orchestrate is. It comes from literally every single angle. Is it really beyond the Democrats to be involved in all of these facets of the destruction of America? No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I really... You know, there's one person that I saw in the comments that said that's actually terrifying when they saw that clip of Kamala. I think only one person that I saw actually got it. And so I think her whole act is just that. You know, to the liberals, she has this, you know, fluffy, emotional, you know, fun personality that she puts on. She does commonly speak like a stupid person, but she's not a stupid person. In fact, it takes quite an intelligent person to systematically destroy their own country. This is like Keir Starmer. I just saw some people posting this morning because there's so many memes making fun of him, and it's gotten to the point where people think he's stupid. These people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. Anthony Albanese, as embarrassing and, you know, mentally impaired as he appears, that is the Prime Minister of Australia, this man is not stupid. He is following the UN playbook to the T. Kamala Harris and Biden have been following, and Obama have been following the UN playbook to the T. Keir Starmer is following the UN playbook to the T. I won't keep going. These people, no matter how disliked and stupid they appear, and I think it's part of their tact to appear stupid, but they're still all achieving the same things. They're still all achieving mass migration. They're still all achieving inflation. They're achieving unaffordable living, gas prices through the roof, a housing crisis, not only housing shortages, but increased prices for rentals, families on the street, more pressure on farmers, more pressure on the agricultural industry, destroying the agricultural industry, pushing big pharma, ignoring the excess deaths, ignoring the injuries. They're all doing the same thing. Just different tactics for different days. And this is why when we were talking, we were hearing about the rise in the right wing, and whilst I think there is a genuine move in the masses towards conservative leadership or right wing populism, that is genuinely what's happening on the ground, I would think it's naive to think that these people don't have a backup plan to install their leaders in place of the hated ones. And when you look, like, for example, when I was looking at some of the elections that were happening in Europe and, you know, these right-wing leaders that were challenging Macron, for example, you know, they say all these really great things and then you look into their policies and, oh, they actually support the climate agenda and they support the Paris Agreement and, oh, that's actually the main driver of Agenda 2030. This is how they're going to displace people from their homes, move them into smart cities, implement a digital currency, digital ID, everything linked to your social credit score. It's really weird that they're so against the agenda, but they're for this part of the agenda that actually is the agenda. And I am very, very concerned about leaders who are telling people what they want to hear right now for the purpose of calming down the social tension, if you will. We have to be very, very diligent of people who come and say they're for humanity. We have to make sure that they do not, that they are not going along with this UN playbook. This is why I have said time and time again, when President Trump says he will not ban gas vehicles, when he says you can have your electric car, but we're not going to have an EV mandate, when he says we're not going to have a CBDC, when he says all of these things, we need to end mass migration. These are all against Agenda 2030. I just sincerely hope that he doesn't implement digital ID as a way to mitigate or deal with all of the illegals that have come in. I sincerely, sincerely hope that he doesn't. And if he does, then Americans really should demand a different solution, in my opinion, because digital ID is a nail in the coffin. But thus far, he hasn't mentioned that, and hopefully he won't. I'm just preempting that if he goes down that path, because it would make sense that that would be an easier way to manage this, then people should demand, hold him accountable and demand a better solution. And I think he listens to the people. I do. I do think he listens to the people. And I think he's more aware now of the agenda than he used to be. We have a guest coming up in a few minutes, so I just want to play you a very quick clip from an interview that I did earlier this week on Helene. So I wanted to know whether, this was actually over the weekend, I wanted to know whether people that are on the ground there are actually experiencing the level of difficulty that we're hearing when it comes to helping people on the ground, delivering goods, all of that. We know that Elon Musk has spoken about how difficult it's been to even get cooperation to get Starlink in there. And so this is Joe from My Patriot Supply on one of the broadcasts that I do on weekends called Media Blackout. We're just going to play a minute or so of that. Joe, I want to ask you, because I heard earlier in the week that you and your teams and partners were having a lot of difficulty getting supplies to the region. Is that still occurring?
You know, it is still occurring, and it's really sad to see, because it's not that there's no access to these roads. There's literally, the roads are open. The roads are able to be accessed by these large trucks, these semi-trucks. However, they are being stopped by different government workers because they don't have a certain certification or a certain authorization to be able to participate or even to help out. In fact, there's several partners that I've personally spoken with. You know, we've been going back and forth all night and yesterday and the day before, trying to find out how to get certain certifications from the government in order for us to be able to deliver product, deliver emergency supplies, deliver food items, deliver emergency water, emergency Mylar blankets, all these emergency items, and we are being blockaded, we're being stopped. And yes, unfortunately, that is still the occurrence. And again, we're doing everything that we can in order to help get around some of this red tape, some of this bureaucracy.
We can end that clip there. So that was from Media Blackout, by the way. If you're not aware, I do a collab with the Vigilant Fox on X. He's an amazing guy. I've been doing that for a while. And we do a broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and that comes out on X and on Rumble. So you can give him a follow, the Vigilant Fox. He's a really, really wonderful person. And we do 10 stories that the media didn't tell you this week. So it's a fun show, and people really love it. It's very, very popular. There he is. Vigilant Fox, great, great human, and just really, really cares about humanity And we cover a lot of interesting stuff on there. So, you can hear from another person as we just aired you that, this is My Patriot Supply trying to get out there, trying to get people food, water, blankets, and they are having immense difficulty. And apparently, you know, they're trying to rush to get this certification so that FEMA will allow them to give people aid. And I really am just amazed at this bureaucracy that surrounds just helping your neighbor out. Are we really at the point where we need to get a certificate to be able to give someone a blanket? You know, it's disgraceful. It's disgusting. This is just more evidence that we need less government and more of people and local community solutions. The idea that human beings, you know, it's like if someone wants to put their life at risk to go and help someone, that is their prerogative. To say that all of these people helping just do not know what they're doing, and they would be a drain on search and rescue efforts, or you know, make things more difficult. To say that every single one of these people going in have no common sense is an absolute lie. In fact, I know some of the people that are there trying to help out. They are incredibly capable individuals. They shouldn't be treated like children, and they certainly don't need a certification to hop over a fence and help their neighbor who's just tripped over, for example. Now, I know that I'm not trying to downplay the situation. What I'm trying to do is explain that they are trying to erase our humanity. They're trying to make it impossible for, not impossible, they're trying to disconnect us from the very human response of helping out your own people. And in picture two, Kamala is announcing in the same week more aid for Lebanon. Just take a look at how much she announced. The people of Lebanon are facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. She's concerned about these people. To that end, the U.S. will provide nearly $157 million in additional assistance to the people of Lebanon. Guys, $157 million to Lebanon, and she's talking about their needs such as food, shelter, water, protection, sanitation. And we have people in North Carolina who do not have food, water, shelter, protection, sanitation. And the government is blocking aid, blocking those resources for their own people, while Kamala's busy that same week going on sex podcasts and tweeting about how she's going to give $175 million to Lebanon. Is she America first, or is she every other single country all over the world first? Lindsey Graham went on Fox News. I don't have the clip. Maybe I'll get it later on in the broadcast. Lindsey Graham went on Fox News to talk about North Carolina. And he said, yeah, look, it's really bad, but gee, the people of Israel, they need our help. You have your own people to worry about first. After the break, we'll be joined by Steve Sleptovich, who has been on the ground in North Carolina. This is someone that actually cares about his own people. And there are many, many wonderful Americans who are helping their own communities, going out of their way to help these people. And I'm very encouraged by it. But this government is absolute filth. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to talk to you really briefly about Bodies, which is currently 25% off. It's used as a medicinal herb for thousands of years. Turmeric is one of the most studied ingredients known today. Paired with black pepper, Bodies is turmeric, is a turmeric supplement that takes advantage of the power of turmeric with over 95% of its active ingredients. Because turmeric contains some of the most powerful antioxidants, we decided to pair it with other powerful ingredients, including five different herbs and extracts for the ultimate boost for you and your family. With these ingredients, Bodies is a true 360 win that can help you with joint support, mobility support, flexibility support, inflammation support. The powerful ingredients in Bodies are with a pipeline of with purpurine and curcuminoids. I'm having difficulty pronouncing those words. Bodies will help you take control of your body and feel the power of turmeric like never before. Again, you can get that at 25% off from the InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we have good people that are on the ground in North Carolina. Steve Slepcevich is one of those. I believe he is joining us right now, if the crew's got him.
Hold on.
Okay, we're just going to take one more moment before Steve joins us. Now, I want to show you something. Apple has actually removed the directions to North Carolina. Now, they'll obviously say this is so that people can stay safe. Again, taking the responsibility for your safety back into the government's hands, into big tech's hands. You can't make a decision as to whether you're capable or not of going to help these people when the government won't. And so in picture three, we can actually see an example, and I've seen multiple of these, where Apple has removed the directions to, say, for example, Chimney Rock. Directions are not available at this time because of current road conditions. We also have a trucker from North Carolina who's given us some very, very interesting information. I think we can play that clip and take us through to break.
The people in North Carolina, you deserve to hear this. I'm a truck driver, all right? I have a 53-foot step deck. I've been trucking for about 2.5 years. I have a YouTube channel. You can verify that on Babyline Hotshot. Usually, in a disaster situation, it is payday for truckers. We look for that hurricane. We look for that ice storm. There's generators coming to you. There's stuff coming out of military bases. There is excavators, skid steers, bulldozers, tree trimming equipment, pumps, like water pumps to pump water out of places that have been flooded. There's no loads on the load board coming to you within 125 miles of Asheville. It's called Truck Stop. This is where I find all my loads. Chicago, Illinois, up at the top, within 250 miles of Chicago is where I'm going to pick up. The second is the destination. So it goes origin, destination. Watch. See? Drop-off location. Let's do city. North Carolina. Click it. Boom. All right. These are all $1.40 a mile loads, $1.39. That was posted yesterday. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. These are loads that you wouldn't even, nobody's taking them. They're just on the load board. They've been on there since yesterday. You can see, right? Let's type in a different city. That's from Chicago. Maybe Tennessee. Maybe Nashville is closer and they'd send resources from Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee, within 250 miles of Nashville to Asheville, North Carolina, within 125 miles. Let's see. That's it. That's all the loads. That's all the loads that are 28,000 pounds in load. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, what the hell's going on here? I had brokers call me and tell me, Stu, have you seen any loads going to Asheville or like anywhere around the Carolinas, South Carolina, Georgia? Is there any like FEMA loads? There's none.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, great news. We've managed to connect with our guest, Steve Slepcevic. He's been in North Carolina on the ground, first-hand account. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you making the time, given that you are right in the thick of it.
Well, thank you for having me online. And you're one of the few journalists that actually got my last name correctly. So you must have some Slavic connections. She's like, Slepcevic. So thank you for that.
It's the Slavic background. It is true. Guilty as charged, Steve. Well, thank you so much for all the amazing work that you've been doing on the ground. I know that General Mike Flynn shared your efforts. Talk to people about, you know, what you saw at the beginning, what it's looking like now, what people really need to be aware of.
Well, the very beginning was absolute chaos. You know, we stepped into one of the independent airports. This is not good. Hold on, because we got some.
Oh, not sure if we lost connection there. Obviously, the connection in that area is very challenging at the moment. People are depending on the Starlink or the satellite systems. I understand that there are still many, many places that have not had their phone service restored. Some places are saying it'll even take 4 to 5 months before power is restored. Some places even longer. I know Greg Biffle we showed some of what he's been discovering there. He's been flying around, former race car driver, flying around with his helicopter, absolute hero. And there are a number of people who have the ability and resources. And even though authorities are telling them, no, you can't go, they're saying, yeah, we're going. You know, even that gentleman who was threatened to arrest him if he went to get his mate with his helicopter, which just so happened to be his son. And he said, well, you can threaten to arrest me all you want. If you're going to arrest me, fine. I'm going to go and rescue my son. They were trying to get him to stop him from rescuing his son. And so this is, it's just unbelievable to see them stifling these efforts. If the crew could just let me know once we have Steve back on, that would be amazing. And we'll keep going in the meantime. You know, I've been really interested in this new hurricane, Hurricane Martin, that is apparently set to make landfall on Wednesday in Florida. After we talk to Steve, I want to talk to people about this because I've put the question out there. I'm seeing a lot of people saying this doesn't really seem right. It's not really common that we get a storm like this starting in the Gulf of Mexico and then going east. They don't traditionally go this way. I've asked people in the comments, give me more information. A couple of people have said, well, no, it has happened in the past. It's really interesting because, yes, and it's currently reached already Category 4 strength days before it's poised to hit Florida. It's really interesting if we can roll clip 10, actually, for Crew. Biden says that we're going to increase the weather events.
Increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and beware we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crises. Nobody intelligent can deny.
Our response is to increase the number and intensity of these extreme weather events, he says. That's the purpose of the government, guys, to increase. So was it a mistake, a Freudian slip? What's going on here, Biden? Why are you telling the American people that your purpose is to increase the intensity and the number of these extreme weather events? It's really, really fascinating. So we'll get back onto Hurricane Martin shortly, but we have Steve connected now. Steve, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to your listeners for their patience, because these are things that are a little difficult. And it's been challenging because I don't really take interviews, you know, during the middle of these storms. It just becomes very difficult. But I also know that it's very important that actually the listeners that are watching your show actually get accurate information that's truth, that is actually truth from the ground, from the first responders that are actually in these zones, observing these situations that are happening.
Absolutely, Steve. You're right. And it is very difficult, especially with a lot of the stuff that's out on social media, to quantify exactly what is going on. I will tell you, I spoke with someone just over the weekend who said now it's drying up. You know, bodies are starting to appear. It's much worse than people understand. But I suppose it also depends on where you are. This person was, you know, all the way up around the Chimney Rock area. So talk to us about what you've seen, you know, from the start till now, what it's looking like, where you've been. Just talk us through the whole thing, Steve.
Yeah, so for us, when we staged outside of Tallahassee. We were there 3 days before and meeting with some of the hospital networks, some of the commercial asset owners, some of the critical infrastructure, just getting them shored up. That hurricane took a hard right, went over Perry, and then ripped up towards North Carolina. What we noticed was there was going to be a stalling event of how that hurricane was going to turn, and there was going to be a ton of water being dumped into these mountains. That was going to create a catastrophic flooding event. And that area, the people knew that that was coming. The emergency managers knew that that was going to fold. So when people say that we had no idea, we had no clue, that's not possible. When you look at topography and you run your drills, and you run all these different types of scenarios in the disaster planning and the risk management, you know what you're doing. So they should have pushed assets quickly into that area and properly staged. That didn't happen. I can't speak to it as to why that didn't happen or why people didn't respond, but it really left the people of North Carolina completely vulnerable and exposed. So all of the stuff that you've seen from the massive amount of flooding, the death that's part of it, just not yesterday, the day before, the local news came out and said that they're going to stop the death count. They're not going to continue until they get a better understanding or a system in place to properly accurately account for it. So that tells just tell you, do they just want to stop counting so people are not paying attention to that? Or are they being now exposed from multiple past disasters of not having accurate counts, which is what we've experienced as first responders on the ground, that the numbers never matched what was actually being reported in the news. Another area that, I mean, for us, when we first stood up one of the first helicopter the parts for the independent pilots, I reached out to one of the pilots that's one of our pilots out of North Carolina who helped us during Hurricane Florence. And I said, we're going to need a bunch of independent pilots. And he's an amazing, amazing pilot, former Army helicopter instructor, one of the best pilots out there. He put it out on the independent pilot network, and the birds were literally coming in from everywhere into Hickory Airport. And we assisted in the EOC and the operations, the helicopter operations, so people actually knew how to get in or to land, basically marshaling that entire process And then Sam, one of our former battalion chiefs, John Knox, LA County fire captain, assisted in setting up the org charts, the incident command, and how to actually run a proper EOC. But this was done all by civilians, right? That was, well, I would say 90% civilians and a few others that were part of the management, but kind of wearing a different role in it. And there was, you know, what's beautiful, there was a lot of other people that are in the different branches that actually took time off of their assignment and came in just as civilians to support that operation. But the ground crew, the FOBs, the airports that have opened their doors and allowed us to operate in that space was what made this mission very successful in many, many rescues, and also our paramedics being able to get medicine out to these areas.
Let me just ask you, Steve, because I know that Elon Musk was talking about, you know, some difficulties he was experiencing with the sort of airspace. And then after he raised awareness to this, Pete Buttigieg responded to him and said, you know, if you're having issues, please contact me. And they kind of had a nice little agreement on X in the end. And Elon said he's being helpful. So I'm just wondering, these local airports that are managing to coordinate all of this, are they doing this despite the federal government?
They're doing it despite the federal government. The federal government has stepped in and closed some of the airspace. So some of the airports are, some of the private airports are having a little bit of a challenge as to what's going on. There's one that's pretty much shut down to civilian aircraft. And so that airport got pushed into another airport. And that airport, we were assisting in that airport operations. And then we stepped in from the very beginning, because on one day I shared that we had put out about 500 Starlinks. And so even yesterday, my incident command, and we're now in a private remote location, and it's actually working really well with Samaritan's Purse, Starlink. We call it Operation Starlink. And our helicopter pilots, these independent helicopter pilots, are medics. They're also operating as crew chiefs on these flights. We're moving their technicians all over the entire area, filling in the rest of the gaps that weren't done to really put this entire area on the map, on the grid, because it is important for the American people, especially this time, to see what's going on, to hear what's going on, and not be cut off from population, especially in this very highly contested election year. People need to see what's going on. And one big thing that we really as a team took away from this entire operation was seeing how the American people in the North Carolina area and those areas basically took this entire operation on their own, learned and saw firsthand how the government failure is massive, and they don't need a government. What they really need is to tune into their spirit and connect with other like-minded Christians in the area, and it's really a spirit-led mission. It was a completely spirit-led mission.
You know, Steve, I was just reflecting on that this morning, and I thought it's going to be distasteful if I say this. How do I actually express this in a way that isn't insensitive to what people are going through? And I'm just going to say it as authentically as I possibly can. The silver lining, if you will, that's come out of this whole thing is that more Americans have realized they can't and shouldn't depend on the government. I mean, if you can look at one thing that people can learn from all of this, and it should never be at the cost of people's lives, it should never be at the cost of everything that they own. You know, I don't want to downplay what's going on with people, but if there's any serious lesson that we can take from this past week, it's that the government is dangerous, the government will actively look at ways at harming you, and that people in their local communities need to depend on one another and have their own systems and their own processes becomes more self-sufficient. And so you're saying that is what's happening there.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's a lot of people in the military that are great people, right? So even yesterday we loaded five Chinooks, right? With Samaritan's Purse. Now, so Samaritan's Purse is the one actually buying the fuel. Right. This is not coming from the government. This is a nonprofit that's based in North Carolina. Actually, in 35 years of working in the disaster space, they're one of the few that I actually recommend, because they actually are in all these disaster zones at Ground Zero with us. And they're there for the duration of it. Most of these NGOs that I see, they're there for the camera shots. They're there for the donations. And in 2 weeks, they're gone. They're gone. Wheels up. Cameras are gone. that donations start to slow down and they're gone. They're not really there. That's just my experience. And yeah, I'm critical, but I'm not naming names. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. They're one of the great ones. Operation Barbecue, feeding thousands. The gentleman that started was the guy that had, wanted to feed people. So he was on a cooker barbecue with a couple of barbecues. And it went from that to being a massive operation. But they're there feeding the first responders. They're there feeding the community. And then they're also feeding the people. So those two organizations have been great. Wow. The satellite phone store, they're always providing comms for all of us on Ground Zero. The radios, the comms, and for us to be able, because when we're dropping these Starlink technicians in these mountains, we drop them off and they're putting them in. And then we come back and we pick them up. They got to be able to grab the radios if something's not working, these sat radios, to be able to communicate back. So it's been a huge benefit. And again, just the people in North Carolina, they're some of the most loving, the most kindest Americans you'll ever meet. And that's been an absolute joy.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing how people's character shines through in times of extreme adversity. And the fact that these people are, you know, you're walking away saying this and saying they're so kind and these people are strong. I'm just seeing this amazing resilience coming out of this region despite this devastation. So many Americans gathering around to help these people when the government just won't. You mentioned the satellite phone store as well. Guys, head to InfoWarsPhone.com for these satellite phones. These guys are right there, right now in North Carolina, providing assistance, providing satellite communications. They did the same thing in Lahaina. They saved 14,000 people's lives with their satellite phone communications, and they will not cut off your service. If there's a disaster, they're not going to cut off your service if your bill's due on the day of or the week of the disaster. They're incredibly compassionate. They're out there helping right now. So again, that website is InfoWarsPhone.com. So what happens now, Steve? Because now we're hearing about another hurricane that's coming. People are saying it doesn't really seem normal, the path that it's taking. I mean, I'm sort of new to assessing hurricanes, I suppose. So, you know, I'm depending more on the community to sort of inform me on these issues. But is there also huge preparation coming for Florida? Are people ready? Is it going to be another example of more devastating than was initially thought? What do we do now?
So literally we're on the highway, right? So I left the battalion chief there running ops. I left the helicopter pilot that's also running the air ops, the you know, coordinating all the aircraft. That mission is going to continue at least for the next several weeks, because what's happening is people are cutting through those areas. They're able to move the rescues up there. They're able to move vehicles, so they're able to get there. So the next few weeks, there's going to be a lot of shifts. But me currently and John Knox, he's one of the fire captains. We're actually headed right now to Tampa to meet up with the rest of the Florida team that's already staged out there. Listen, when people get evacuation orders, they need to really listen to the evacuation orders, because you can hide from the wind, but you cannot run from the water. And you don't want to get caught up on a highway taken off late in a situation, because there could be an accident. The roads could be blocked. And now you're stuck in a situation where the storm's coming and you cannot get off the X. So when people get evacuation orders, get up, get out, go to a place where it's quiet. You can relax with your family for a couple of days. Go visit some friends. Go on vacation, you know, obviously batten down the hatches. And we're going in there because our focus is on the critical infrastructure, right? The hospitals, the multifamily buildings, the shopping centers, to drop fuel cells just outside the area, the power generation. We have security teams that are going in to set perimeter as soon as that storm passes. So sometimes on some of these buildings, because we're in there a few days before, we set security teams, we put our paramedics, and we lock and load, and we're basically in that hunkered in that building, because once the winds get to 45 mile an hour or greater, that's when the riffraff comes out. And in this economy, it's going to get worse. It's always been bad in most of these hurricanes. You see the lowlifes of the earth coming out, looting, stealing. It's very real. People come back to their businesses, their homes, and they find that their place got all ransacked and all their stuff got stolen. And they're like, oh, my God, a hurricane didn't impact me, but I just got looted. And there's no law enforcement. There's no EMS services coming. So we provide that resource. for our private clients and for the critical infrastructure, because they don't want to be dealing with that. And their facilities, especially the hospitals, have to stay online. So this pre-assessment is to reduce the risk and allow them to get back in business quicker. And then we have our mitigation, which is our water extraction. We have our shrink wrap crews for the roofs. We have our general contractors that are lined up. And then we have all our engineers, mechanical, structural, environmental. We have the drone team that does the 3D drone assessment pre and post the storm. And so it's important for people to get ready. But also, if you are part of a bigger facility, we're a great fit for that. And just doing your pre-storm, your assessment, and seeing what it is that you need. And then in the community, some of the churches, some of the larger campuses are like, hey, who do you have that provides food? Who do you have that can set up the base camp operation, the sanitation, the showers, the cots, the places where I could bring my family, charge my phone, not have to go out of town 3-4 hours? Because right now, people are out of fuel in that fuel. The gas stations are out of fuel in those areas. So that's going to be a problem for people actually trying to evacuate. And this is one of the few times I've seen that happen. So this is a crisis that's unfolding right now.
So that website is SRP24, Steve, am I correct?
Yeah, SRP24.com.
SRP24.com is where you can find out more information about that. Contact Steve and his team. The website says building disaster resilience one community at a time. Steve, I just want to quickly going back to North Carolina. We're being told that it's absolute devastation. The term that I heard someone who was there use was it's a graveyard. And as the flood is subsiding, we're starting to see bodies. We're starting to see just the sheer devastation. And because it's so hard to get in there, it's drying, so the cleanup will be infinitely harder. What do you think is going to happen to some of these communities that are more remote? I'm hearing Asheville will probably recover, but not so much the other places.
Yeah, so throughout this entire mountain range, you know, it's one of the most beautiful places in the country. There's a lot of volunteer fire departments and some actual fire departments that are staffed, but in those communities, they've gotten a lot of food in those areas right now. So people that are bringing food in really need to kind of slow that roll. They're getting overloaded. Check with the distribution center where you're taking it and see if they actually need the stuff. So then people are like, they need a more warm clothes. But what people have to understand is that once that stuff gets logistically moved from the helicopters to that staging location, say at one of the volunteer fire departments in these rural areas where we're making these drops, we're always communicating back to command what they need. Do they need more insulin? Do they need more water? Do they need a fuel for their generators? Do they need generators, which is all the stuff that's been going there. But one thing that people have to understand is that then it needs to be pushed out into those areas, outside those areas. And we've been in communication with the professional racing organization, and they represent 30 or 40 of the top racers in the off-road world, which has been incredible to see these people step in and say, hey, I think we can help. And initially, it's just getting these guys with side-by-sides, and they're like RTR is one of the sponsors. I know Ford's dropping off 4 vehicles actually today. And so this racing team is pushing the stuff out of those areas and getting them into the mountains. But what I can tell you is the people that are really doing the work is the locals. When you see these locals, these mountain people, they're the ones in these meetings that we've had at some of the departments. They're like, hey, we're mountain people. We handle this stuff. We got this stuff handled. They're resilient. And the sad thing about it is you're going to find all types of bodies for a long time. Why? Because some people tried to hike out, maybe broke an ankle, didn't have any form of communication, which a sat phone would have been really smart to try to have before you get out of those areas. But they broke an ankle, they got injured, and they couldn't reach anybody. And so 3-4 days of without water, they're done. And so there's bodies that are going to be recovered just as people start to cruise through these, cross through these different parts of the forest areas. And as the debris starts to get cleaned up from these rivers, from these debris piles, from these different things, there's going to be a lot of bodies that are going to be discovered for a long time coming. And I think that is one of the reasons they may have stopped the body count.
Yeah, because I think you're right, Steve.
A constant trickle.
That's such a good point. And also because it looks really bad on the current administration. That's, you know, there's always a cover up of exactly how far spread the devastation is. There's always a cover up of exactly how little the government is doing. What I'm really encouraged by, Steve, although this is a really, really horrific tragedy, is the fact that communities are coming together and they're becoming stronger and they're realizing less government, more us. And I think that that is the approach that everyone needs to take. Again, InfoWarsPhone.com. It's not even a sales pitch. This is a necessity. SRP24.com for more about Steve's services. Steve, thank you so much for joining us and giving us an update today. Again, we really appreciate your time and all of your efforts. God bless.
God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsored InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
As Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, most people know him as Doc Pete Chambers, always says, we are the White Hats. It's us. The communities, the people developing solutions at a local level, the people that are working to get good people elected at a local level who can protect their communities. I am obviously in support of President Donald Trump winning the 2024 election, but I don't think that people should just bank on that one solution. As you can see, the crises are coming in thick and fast. We have a church getting attacked over the weekend. We have a hurricane in North Carolina, another one coming in Florida, and we've seen the government's response to Helene. I can't imagine their response will be any more favorable to Florida, although maybe considering the backlash of their lack of action and absolute stifling of the people's efforts in North Carolina, perhaps they will actually do something beneficial for Floridians, you know, depending on what happens with this this new hurricane. I think that it is, you know, last year when I was here and I was on with Owen, I said to him, are hurricanes even real? And let me just explain this. I think we're at a point where we should be questioning absolutely everything, especially anything that comes from the government's mouth. And I think that regardless of who wins the 2024 election, and I'm hoping it's going to be President Trump, but regardless, he's not going to be around forever. He certainly said he doesn't plan to run after this term. And you just never know what'll happen in the next 4 years. I mean, hopefully he wins and there's a lot of cleanup and there's a lot of good things that change where the government is concerned. But the work doesn't just stop once Trump's elected and after the inauguration. If things go to plan and he wins the election and he's inaugurated and they somehow miraculously don't interfere with that process, the fight doesn't just end there. Trump has an immense amount of work on his shoulders to do, to undo the devastation of the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, to undo the devastation of the past 4 years, to undo the devastation of years and years and years of the poisoning of Americans through corrupt organizations like the Food and Drug Administration, approving, you know, really unsafe levels of poisonous chemicals in foods, poisonous injections, biological weapons masked as vaccines. Obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be very involved in that process of making America healthy again. But this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And so I think it's, and even, you know, the ties that have potentially been formed with foreign hostile governments, as I said, you don't just get 9 surface-to-air missiles casually going over the border. It takes someone to orchestrate that with foreign hostile governments. So potential ties that have been made with foreign hostile governments, treasonous ties. I don't have evidence of that. I'm just saying the potential for it to be a threat to the Trump administration, especially in the early stages. I mean, we are in such immensely dangerous times. This is unprecedented. America is really in a lot of danger at the moment. Now, I'm not saying that because I think all hope is lost. I'm just saying that there needs to be a real focus on communities right now protecting each other, especially for this month in October, especially leading up to the election. And I'm told, you know, again, I'm new to all of this, but my understanding or my thoughts around early voting were that potentially that makes it easier to rig because maybe they somehow, you know, can mess with those numbers, but I'm told that apparently it's a good idea. Early voting's a good idea. Perhaps these places that, you know, Florida, for example, that's expecting this hurricane should make the effort to go and vote early if it's possible. I don't know if it's open to them yet, but, you know, I'm just thinking of solutions ahead of this election that people can preempt for, because you literally have the government of every Western nation waging war against its people. It's not just unique to America. But the reason why it's so dangerous here right now is because you have the potential for that all to change come November and then subsequently January. You have the potential for that, for someone who wants to make change, who is against the agenda, who has made statements that are in direct disobeyment, if you will, to the United Nations Agenda 2030, which is the driving force behind so much of this madness. And then by extension, 2045, where they want us to all live in the metaverse, which we will talk about shortly. But I just want to talk about Hurricane Martin. So if we bring up picture five, U.S. hurricane pattern, it's no surprise to anyone. Again, that's picture five. No surprise to anyone that there are actually patterns for, and if we can zoom into that, crew, that there are patents for manufacturing weather, there are patents for hurricane and tornado control devices. And I found a really interesting video. Now, I have not independently been able to verify every single claim that this gentleman makes in his video, but I think that it is a very interesting consideration. And I'd be interested to hear if people go on to my X, it's ZEEE_media. I made a post yesterday about the fact that I was hearing that there were some anomalies with Hurricane Martin. And so I'd be interested to hear from you in that post. But I found this video incredibly interesting about Lockheed Martin Orion P3. If you have more information about this, I want to hear from you, but let's go ahead and roll that clip.
I'm not saying that the government created Hurricane Helene. What I am saying is that the government has been manipulating the weather since 1947. What first caught my attention with Helene was the shift in the storm's projected path. One day, it looked like it would hit my town. The next day, it had shifted east. I then noticed an odd flight path of NOAA-42, the aircraft being flown, a Lockheed Martin Orion P-3. This prompted me to look at previous uses for the P-3, where I discovered that they were used in the 1960s to manipulate Hurricane Camille in a, quote, weather war on Cuba. Now, I know this sounds out there, but as we begin to see more and more the terrible things our government has done in the past, is it really so far-fetched? Here are the projections from the 23rd of September. A large spread traveling the Alabama-Georgia line and ending up in Illinois. On the 24th, projections shift slightly east and the storm is projected to finish in Indiana. On the morning of the 25th, the path shifts back west and shows to be finishing in western Kentucky. That evening, a P-3 conducts a six-hour operation inside the developing storm. The next morning, on the 26th, the path shows to have shifted slightly east again, now finishing in northwestern Tennessee. The evening of the 26th, the same P-3 conducts operations throughout Hurricane Helene as it makes landfall, and the storm's actual path shifts further east, finishing in northeastern Tennessee. What would the government's motivations possibly be to modify a storm? That, I don't know. But I do believe that if we can maintain our republic long enough, time will eventually tell.
Very, very interesting. And that on screen right now is my X post. I said I'm seeing a lot of people on X discussing that the path of Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida on Wednesday afternoon is not normal. Drop your info below. We need to get to the bottom of this or learn more about this ASAP. So whoever's watching that, get in there and drop your info. I'll cover it this week while I'm here, or, you know, on my own live broadcasts on Z-Media. So I'm really interested to learn more about this. I am not discounting absolutely any possibility, because they do openly discuss the ability to control the weather. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene posted about it. Yes, they can control the weather. They have weather warfare by 2025 documents. posted, there's a particular NASA presentation, which is really interesting because it ends up being like a live document. I don't remember what I called my interview on that. Maybe I'll find it over the break and get the crew to bring it up. But there's a living document that actually gets updated, and you know there are things that are redacted from it, and so it's hard to ever find the sort of, you know, the revisions of this presentation. But it basically talks about weather warfare by 2025, being able to control the weather, and of course it's for, you know, for the sake of being able to wage weather warfare on other nations. But that's actually not what happens. They end up waging weather warfare on their own people. And in this case, it's been on, you know, predominantly Trump voting areas right before an election. Really, really fascinating. Now, someone said on picture six, someone said, no, these are regular. Have a look at these historical hurricane tracks. Many start in the Gulf and spin west to east. It's not as common, but it happens. I lived in Florida for over 15 years. So that's what one person has said to me. I just want to show you all sides of this. And then other people have said to me, I've lived in Florida my whole life. I've never seen a track like this. So a couple of people actually asked Grok. And picture eight is Grok about the hurricanes starting from the Gulf of Mexico, if we can bring that up. So someone asks Grok, list hurricanes that have formed in western Gulf of Mexico and moved east only. The answer, based on the information available up to October 6, 2024, here are the hurricanes or significant tropical storms that have formed in or significantly intensified in the western Gulf of Mexico and moved eastward. Tropical Storm Milton. Storm formed in the western Gulf of Mexico and was expected to intensify into a major hurricane before potentially making landfall in Florida. Another example from Grok, picture nine, has a major hurricane ever started in the west of the Gulf and then moved east through Florida? Answer, based on the information available up to October 5, 2024, there isn't a directly documented case of a major hurricane starting in the western Gulf of Mexico and then moving directly east through Florida in historical records or recent forecasts. However, Grok acknowledges meteorological patterns can be complex, and while it's unusual, hurricanes can indeed traverse unusual paths due to various atmospheric conditions. So, of course, that is absolutely acceptable. We know that sometimes the weather does unexpected things, but we also know that the government has weather manipulation techniques. Something else that I was reading that was very, very interesting, pardon, there's a fisherman, a commercial fisherman, on X, and he talks about some of the ship operations. So when people think about weather manipulation, they think, well, harp or spraying. And mind you, Mike Adams actually showed, he interviewed someone from North Carolina who provided him with photos of the skies just days before the hurricane, and they were absolutely covered with trails. Chemical trails, stratospheric aerosol injection, solar radiation management, whatever you want to call it, I'm calling it chemtrails. They were absolutely covered in these trails. And so there is, when people think about weather modification, they typically think about these things. But that is not the only form of weather modification. In fact, the people that are in favor of this, you know, a lot of these climate mad scientists who say that we just got to spray the whole earth to fix the earth, and remove the carbon out of the atmosphere that actually allows us to live. Really, really amazing scientists these guys are. Dear God. Anyway. So people normally think of that, but they even admit to doing ground operations. And so I know of one particular case in Australia, someone that lives right nearby, a good friend of mine that lives by a farmer, and they actually have a particular device on their farm, and the government pays them every time the government releases something from that particular bit of machinery. It's very covert. He doesn't know what it is. He just knows that he gets paid to allow this to be on his property. And so those types of operations exist. And ship operations exist as well when it comes to weather modification. And so this commercial fisherman, people were dropping his videos into my ex post, that one that we brought up on screen before. Really interesting guys. I encourage everyone to go and check his work out. Can't remember his handle right now, but nonetheless, you'll find it. It's like the top post in that, in the comments there. And he talks about the role of boats in all of this. He talks about the, he actually did a video just the other day where he was showing how there are currently boats, that are on route, in that area that are going, you know, one, two, sometimes even zero knots. And he was saying, well, I know what types of, what types of ships these are. I shouldn't really call them boats. They are ships, aren't they? I know what types of ships these are. They should be traveling at 12 knots. They certainly have the capacity to. And if you're traveling all this distance, you should be going at 12 knots. So his suspicion is that maybe there are some ships involved as well with manipulating the weather in that region as right now where the storm is forming. It's certainly a possibility. What I'm trying to say is I won't discount any possibility right now. I just find the fact that there is a devastating, potentially already classified Category 4 hurricane coming to Florida right after we've had one in North Carolina. Mayorkas comes and says, it's not over. We don't have funds. But by the way, we're going to have more hurricanes. Biden has that video where he says we're going to increase the weather events. In fact, we might roll that again. I just don't think that this is all a coincidence that all of these climate catastrophes happen to befall these typically Trump voting regions right before the election. Can we please play that clip of Biden again, clip 10?
Response is to increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and be wary we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis. At least nobody intelligent can deny.
Is he just blurting out things that he shouldn't? Do you remember when Biden blurted out about the blue roofs? He said that, I think he said something along the lines of this place should be okay because it has a blue roof. I don't know if the crew has that clip. That was amazing. So Biden just tends to blurt out these things that he really shouldn't say. Is that another example of him doing that? We're just going to keep working on increasing the frequency and the severity of these weather events, guys. But I want to talk to you now, and I'm going to spend the next hour or so talking about this, about the plans beyond these climate catastrophes. I know that, you know, there are many, many crises happening as we speak, and we have an election that's coming up, and we have, you know, a multitude of things to worry about in the United States right now. But it's very important to understand where the agenda is going so that we understand what we need to stand against. And so when I was reporting on this week on Media Blackout, I had a bit of a look at managed retreat, and I had a look at whether this was planned for the North Carolina area, and I had a bit of a look at, you know, whether they've identified any areas thus far for managed retreat. Now, I haven't dug specifically into, you know, they said expressly this area will be a managed retreat, this area won't. But what you'll find is that the term managed retreat is so controversial that the government will rarely ever, if ever, tell you that you are going to be subjected to it. So what is managed retreat? Basically, they tell you that patterns of island change and persistence offer alternate adaptation pathways for atoll nations. Sorry, this is the wrong one. I want to look at this United Nations article right here. Let me get that for you. So United Nations says what can be done to counter sea level rise, and they say that the single most consequential action that can be taken is to slow down global warming by reducing greenhouse gas emissions, the primary driver of climate change. Then they say, meanwhile, mitigating and adapting to higher sea levels has taken on new importance. A wide range of solutions, which obviously come at a cost, are available, including building infrastructure, such as seawalls and storm surge barriers to protect against flooding and erosion. By the way, you have a number of millionaires and billionaires buying up seafront properties despite, you know, this imminent crisis of rising sea levels, but they keep talking about this. Anyway, they go on to say, you know, mangroves protecting wetlands, coral reefs, so on and so forth. And then they say many countries are also stepping up their disaster risk reduction plans, as well as through UN-supported early warning systems to deal with sea level-related incidents. Now, let's look at this last line. In some cases, communities may also be relocated from vulnerable coastal areas, and it's not just coastal, by the way, as part of adaptation measures, an approach known as managed retreat. In another article, it says managed retreat from climate disasters can reinvent cities so they're better for everyone and avoid more flooding, heat and fires. But don't trust me. Let's listen to the CFR talking about managed retreat, the Council on Foreign Relations.
I am T, not in my term. And we see that it's often those politicians with a much deeper experience in the community and at the tail end of their careers who are willing to take on these long-term risks. So that is a challenge up front. And then, of course, managed retreat has become two dirty words. Communities have fought back vigorously. Here in California, you have a number of examples. Unfortunately, the events are occurring so quickly, and we're going to see storm surge, greater on the East Coast, more intense hurricanes on the West Coast, sea level rise causing erosion, that even if people don't choose to retreat, things are just going to fall into the sea. So if we want to keep building infrastructure to keep homes right next to the sea, we're going to pour a lot of money into places that will wash away. And so that's why it's desirable to think about a plan for how you're going to pull back and make sure that people are safe and that we don't waste money, which is really what's at stake if you think that you can keep the sea at bay on these kinds of coastlines that the United States enjoys.
So a lot of the time they'll focus on seafront properties because that's somehow more palatable for people. I guess they don't, you know, a lot of people are used to not living in seafront properties. They're typically very expensive, you know, not that many people in society can afford oceanfront properties. Barack Obama definitely can and doesn't see a problem with rising sea levels. But they will do that because that seems to be more palatable for people. That people believe, oh, okay, well, yeah, rising sea levels, you know, all of a sudden your house is going to be flooded and, you know, it makes sense that the government would get involved to keep people safe. But that's not the end of managed retreat, and I'm going to prove that to you after the break. And I'm going to show you a real-life example of an entire country, an entire island that's been attacked by the United Nations with this agenda that is, in fact, not at risk of any climate change. In fact, no one is, other than government-manufactured weather modification and manipulation. There is no such thing as climate change. I made a post the other day and I said, oh, I've changed my mind. Climate change is real, the kind where the government manufactures it. And people are saying to me, oh, I'm so glad you woke up to this. It's like, no, you're not understanding. You know, this isn't a new concept. I'm just explaining for the normies that, yeah, climate change is real because they're causing it. They are causing it through incessant spraying of the skies, incessant ground operations, incessant ship operations. These people are mad scientists who want to destroy our way of life and they want to corral us into smart cities, and that is exactly what managed retreat is about. Now, I don't know. I heard a rumor, and I haven't been able to verify it independently, but I heard a rumor that there were apparently talks about these residents of North Carolina being told that they can't return to their homes. The government's going to offer them some sort of a buy-up scheme. Sounds a lot like managed retreat to me. So we'll talk more about that after the break. I'm going to give you a real life example of an entire nation that this has happened to, where the government is forcing them out of their ancestral homes. And I'm going to talk you through some of the steps that they may take to do that in other places where they cause climate disasters, which, by the way, they will do because they want everyone in smart cities. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
InfoWars is listener supported, and we appreciate your donations. But buy a product and support your health too. Nitric oxide is an important chemical messenger in the body. It promotes blood flow and it helps nerve cells communicate with one another. But over time, our bodies produce less of it. Full of amino acids to produce nitric oxide, Nitric Boost helps raise the amount of nitric oxide in your body. Nitric oxide is needed for strength, cardiovascular function, and healthy neurotransmission. It helps to improve blood flow, which helps improve overall immunity. Get some today, now 40% off. Support your health and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Before the break, we were discussing this term, managed retreat. This is probably something that many people haven't heard about. And I recently was hearing about this being actually deployed in Australia. There is an entire region right now that is being forced to leave their homes. And even when I was looking into, particularly in Australia, they were saying that, you know, in some of their plans for people that are refusing to leave the area that is going to be impacted by climate change, they may need to put them into facilities while they transition, so aka camps, and they've got a lot of those in Australia, and they have a lot of them here too, and in Canada, and I'm not sure about the UK camps, but of course they would have them because every Western nation does. And so they say climate change is really, really devastating the world and we can't insure these properties. And then some sort of, you know, catastrophe comes to the place, whether it's flooding, fires, hurricanes, whatever it may be, or even just their predictive climate models, by the way. It doesn't actually have to be an area that's struck by disaster. The government can say, oh, our climate model predicts that this area is going to be at climate risk. And you have a range of NGOs that are aligned with the United Nations that come in and say, oh, yes, our modeling says the same thing. This area is at risk. And then insurance companies come in and say, well, these homes are not insurable and we can't, you know, we can't guarantee that this won't be affected by XYZ. And so you can't insure your home. And then, God forbid, something does happen. You can't rebuild. You can't do anything. Your home wasn't insured. So this is one of the deterrents that they use, you know, to stop people from actually going back to disaster struck areas. Certainly what happened in, you know, in Lismore in Australia, there were insurance companies saying, oh, well, this is now prone to flooding. It was a huge, huge flood, 50,000 people displaced. Same thing, government wouldn't allow people to help, wouldn't let donations come in, wouldn't let, you know, were being very difficult with volunteers coming. They had actual government officials going and staging, I mentioned this last week, I think, you know, removing rubbish and putting rubbish back into a driveway to stage for a photo op. Like, they didn't even actually go and remove the rubbish. They went and put it back in the driveway. It was absolutely offensive, but this is really how the government operates in, I think, every single Western nation at this point. And so, you know, people were told, oh, well, the government's potentially going to buy back your house and, you know, we're going to reduce the amount of housing here. Why? Because in 2018, the mayor of Lismore signed up for that area to be a smart city. And so you can't have all these old-style country homes or rural homes in a smart city. You need everything to be smart. You need your toes to be connected to your microwave. You need your brain to be connected to the AI hive mind. You need this, that, and the other. And we just can't enforce that when we have all these sprawled out country homes everywhere. And so when I say that every single rural community is at risk, I am not exaggerating that point. So it's very, very important for people to understand the agenda coming down the pipeline, because even, as I said, even if Trump gets in, maybe his team is not fully aware of that particular aspect of Agenda 2030. Maybe the supporters and the people, you know, that follow him and have his ear can inform him about this. Certainly there would be people at a local level who are very pro-humanity but don't really understand this aspect of the agenda. This is how the government plans to strip you of your home ownership. It's very serious. They absolutely intend to do it, and they've already done it to an entire island in Tuvalu. Now, you may think that's insignificant, but that's a test case. We have to pay attention to their test cases to make sure it doesn't come to us. So right after the break, we're going to get stuck into Tuvalu. Don't go anywhere. You're going to be shocked at what the government's done to these people.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious, because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I just want to take a moment to encourage everyone to take advantage of the huge sale at the moment on BrainForce Ultra. It's currently 40% off. You can save InfoWars and also get great products while you contribute to their important mission. BrainForce Ultra has been more than twice the servings and has more than twice the servings and an even stronger proprietary super formula than the original Brain Force Plus formula. It's packed with powerhouse ingredients, including guarana seed, alpha GPC, green coffee bean, eleuthero root, yerba mate leaf, green tea leaves, ginkgo leaf, and ashwagandha root. Stop getting your energy from toxic sources. Many energy drinks and other products are loaded with artificial ingredients that are literally poison, guys. Literally poison. You can also get vitamin mineral fusion right now at 40% off. So go to the InfoWarsStore.com. Support InfoWars. Keep them on the air. This is incredibly serious because, you know, I can just tell you from a personal level, and it's not about me at all. I want to make that clear. I have put out many, many bombshell reports that literally could change history. I'm not even kidding. And it's not me patting myself on the back. I'm just trying to make a point here. And because of the censorship that I've faced, 3 Instagram accounts, you know, suspended on YouTube, banned on Twitter formally twice, you know, Facebook on a permanent ban sort of since April 2022, it's been incredibly difficult to get this crucial information out about things that are coming down the pipeline. Now, because of InfoWars, I've been able to get out some of that information to many more people. It's not about getting views. It's about, hey, they're trying to kill us in this way. Can we please do something about this? Let's stop them. And so the censorship machine, and this is why Hillary Clinton recently just said, you know, we need to. In fact, I want to play that clip really quickly. Hillary Clinton, control of information, clip 13. She says, we need control of we need to control information. Otherwise, we lose control. Take a listen to this.
We should be, in my view, repealing something called Section 230, which gave, you know, platforms on the Internet immunity because they were thought to be just pass-throughs, that they shouldn't be judged for the content that is posted. But we now know that that was an overly simple view, that if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
She openly admits that we will lose total control if we can't control the flow of information. And so this is why InfoWars is under such attack. This is why InfoWars is so crucial. This is why independent media is so crucial. So I'm asking everyone to support InfoWars. Visit alexjonesstore.com or InfoWarsStore.com today and get yourself some great products that enrich your life and also support the survival of this very, very important platform. And I say that because I'm now going to go into managed retreat. If Hillary Clinton had her way, you would not know that the government is planning on stealing your home from under your feet through an extremely convoluted way. Whether it comes today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, they absolutely have plans to do it. Mark my words. So if we didn't have InfoWars, you would not know this information today. So think about that. Think about what it would look like when all of a sudden you have some authorities at your door that say, oh, your home now is at climate risk and we need to relocate you. And initially, they'll pay these people out. But what happens when they say, oh, we also don't have any more funds because we gave them all to Ukraine or Israel or Lebanon? That'll be the next thing. Okay, so I want to show you a clip. This is about what they've said they're going to do in New Zealand. Clip 14.
Calls of retreat have been echoing across Aotearoa. It's a national conversation about how to handle managed retreat, how we move people and homes away from the growing risks of climate change impacts. Coastal areas, valleys and floodplains may not be the ideal places to inhabit in the future, and it's a discussion that's been galvanised by recent catastrophic weather events. So, what might managed retreat look like for Aotearoa? It could be a whole town being rebuilt on safer ground, like Grantham in Queensland, which was moved uphill after flooding in 2011, or homeowners being bought out and given the choice on where to go. Unless it follows a natural disaster, the time frame could span decades. Managed retreat is seen as the most challenging approach to living with climate change, but experts reckon it can sometimes be the most cost-effective option in the long term, or even the only option. So how widespread is managed retreat likely to be, and what's it going to cost? There's a lot of uncertainties, but looking at sea level rise alone, scientists estimate that around 36,000 buildings and close to 50,000 people will be at risk if the sea level rises half a metre. Some projections are for more than a metre rise by the end of the century, and that could mean the price tag running into the tens of billions. This makes for some thorny questions to grapple with in the beehive. What evidence is needed before the go button is pressed? Who decides? Is it local or central government? Who's going to foot the bill? Because insurance is usually only an option after disaster strikes. And what about the unique impacts facing Māori with loss of culturally important sites and whenua return through treaty settlements? How these issues shake out could have a big impact on the lives of Kiwis who want to know, should I stay or should I go?
So again, that's some of the pre-programming that they give you. And again, they keep talking about rising sea levels. And let me just say that even, so first of all, these rising sea levels are not, the sea levels are not rising. That's been proven time and time again. I'm going to prove it to you in the case of Tuvalu as well, which we'll talk about. But they use this term because it is very palatable for people. They associate flooding with areas close to the sea and they think, yes, okay, maybe the government needs to keep me safe. Let me be abundantly clear. The government should never at any point whatsoever at any time in my life have a say over where I'm going to live. Never at any point under any circumstances, never ever, well, should they ever be able to tell me, no, this place you shouldn't be living in, it's not safe for you. I will make that decision about whether or not I feel safe enough because I chose to live on this tree log hanging off a mountaintop or not. That is my decision. You are not my mum or my dad or my God. So the fact that they're even putting out this propaganda, like it's somehow normal that the government's coming in and telling you, hey, not so safe for you anymore. We're going to move you out of here. But don't worry, we're going to give you money to go elsewhere. And some of these people actually believe it. Some of these people actually believe it. And the example of Tuvalu is the most egregious, because you look at, you know, people think, well, it'll never happen to my home. Well, insurance companies are already preparing for this. Zurich has a whole article on it. I'm going to show you in a moment as well. Insurance companies are preparing for it. I'm seeing them in Australia and the United States alike talking about managed retreat. And of course, a lot of these insurance companies, not saying Zurich is, I haven't checked, but a lot of these insurance companies, the big players, are of course WEF aligned. And so of course they would be aligned with Agenda 2030. And of course they would be refusing insurance for so-called climate areas at climate risk. Right? And so did you notice that she said that managed retreat can be challenging without some sort of a disaster? So that what they're saying to you is, you know, if you're not hit by a catastrophic flood or if you're not hit by a catastrophic hurricane, it can be really hard to convince people to move out of that area. Why should they move out of the area? Because you lied and you said that they might be at risk of floods or fires. That is their decision. If they want to run the risk of losing their lives, leave it to them. And if they want to do that, even though the insurer won't insure their home, no problem. That's their risk. That's their potential financial loss. That's their potential loss of life. You are not here to manage that risk for me. Unless I'm putting others in danger, go screw yourself, government, Mr. Government Man. But the example of Tuvalu is really, really serious. What they've actually done with this place is they've convinced this entire island that they're going to be underwater, you know, tomorrow. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, or I'm being sarcastic, but that's essentially what they've said. They've said that this is going to, I'm just looking for my Tuvalu article. Tuvalu says the impacts of climate change have forced it to create a digital copy of itself in the metaverse. But in the real world, not everyone's convinced. So they've said this island is flooding. It's going to be completely underwater. Australia made a treaty with Tuvalu that basically agreed to bring in 280 of their 11,000 residents per year. And of course, there'll likely be others that are brought out of that region to go to other countries. And so they are actually bringing people, they've convinced some of these people on this island that they're going to be completely underwater, and they're bringing 250 of them. Thank you, crew. They're bringing 250 of them per year. And again, those don't sound like big numbers, but consider that this is going to start being a very widespread operation and agenda. And so they're going to be bringing 280, I believe, of these people per year from Tuvalu to Australia, because they're telling these people, not only are they telling them you can't live here anymore, they're telling them you are actually going to be completely underwater, and the only way that you can visit your home is in the metaverse. They've actually built a digital twin of Tuvalu. This is the craziest thing you will see in your life. Take a look at clip 17.
As our land disappears, we have no choice but to become the world's first digital nation. Our land, our ocean, our culture are the most precious assets of our people.
This speech from COP27 went viral and prompted a flurry of responses online.
So this country is moving full-time into the metaverse.
While the plan has been met by skepticism from many, Mr. Coffey argues Tuvalu needs a way to continue exercising its sovereignty as a nation, even if its land is lost and its 10,000-plus population is forced to move.
Tuvalu's digital twin will be hosted on the metaverse. The metaverse is a three-dimensional online virtual reality, which some in the tech industry believe could be the future of the internet. This is a digital replica of Te Afualiku Islet in Tuvalu. It was created referencing satellite imagery, drone footage, and photos. It's just a proof of concept at this stage, and it's the only island in Tuvalu to be digitally rendered so far. It looks pretty impressive, don't you think? But questions about when this project will be completed and whether real people will be represented by avatars are still unanswered. David Nord, who heads the Accenture team who created this prototype, says there are a number of ways to provide access.
If you think of the typical things that are low barriers for people, it's a web browser. Secondly, a mobile phone. The third option would be if you did want to do it in some kind of immersive environment in a VR headset. As long as you have access to a device that has an internet connection, you should be able to experience this.
Don't worry if you don't have an internet connected device. Mr. Coffey says the government will provide Tuvaluans with devices to ensure everyone has access.
Either way, we're going to build a digital nation. It makes life much easier for us. It ensures that we are ready whenever there is a disaster.
Do you remember that when the WEF said right after COVID that the biggest lesson that we learned during COVID was that everyone needs the internet, and then Hillary Clinton went to some remote village in India to deliver them with high-speed internet? It was the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre endeavors of Hillary Clinton. Like, you go to some remote village in India to give them high-speed internet. Why would they need that? Well, number one, so they can be connected to the propaganda machine. Number two, so that they can be conditioned to use the internet, this remote village that literally eats off the ground. You know, they eat off the ground. They have clay huts. Why would they need the internet? Their way of life is totally different. They have a tribal way of life, but they want them to have high-speed internet so that they can become accustomed to it, so that one day they can be corralled into smart cities to be controlled and they know how to access the metaverse, which he says, a lot of experts say, is the future of the internet. What it's actually called is the AI World Society, and it's the digital life that they plan to transition everyone into so that you don't actually experience real life at all. And he says that there may even be real people represented by avatars visiting Tuvalu when they all go and look at their ancestral home in the metaverse. They're not allowed to stay there anymore. They're building. Either way, if they can't salvage Tuvalu, they're going to build a digital twin. By the way, that leader of that nation is the biggest globalist if I ever saw one, betraying thousands of years potentially of ancestral home of these people. These people have been there their whole lives. Their ancestors have been there. They are tribal people, a lot of them. They have this really old school way of life, and he's coming in and saying, no, we've got to rip them out and shove them into the metaverse. It is the most dystopian thing I've ever seen, but this is not the only example we will see. I promise you, I'm watching this and watching these people, these residents that are falling for this, thinking this is predators preying on tribal people who don't know any better, who are being told that climate change is going to destroy their homes, so the only way that they can view their ancestral homes anymore is by plugging into a VR headset. It is the most insane thing I've seen in my life. And so he says, you know, the biggest thing is that they need an internet connection, but don't worry, the government will provide the people with these devices. just like Hillary Clinton went to deliver high-speed internet, because they're number one. This is why smart TVs are so cheap. This is why absolutely anything smart is very accessible now, because they want you connected like some sort of cyborg at all times. So the government's even going to give them the devices so that they can go and look at their mum's grave in the metaverse. This is the most sick thing. And so they say the Tuvaluans are preparing for life in Australia as rising tides swallow their country. That's what the article says. It's a sad situation because we Tuvaluans contribute less to the cause of climate change, but we are the ones suffering, one resident says. Well, none of you are actually contributing to the cause of climate change. It's actually the military and all of the private contractors that are involved in changing the weather. That's who's contributing. CO2 is much needed. In fact, we don't have enough of it. But you're being forced from your homes because of this lie. And it says the Falapilli Union, an agreement letting Tuvaluans escape the impacts of climate change and move to Australia, came into effect last month. It's going to let up to 280 people to migrate each year through a random ballot. I want to show you this example of what this guy says, because he actually moved to Australia from Tuvalu in 2011. He came because he's a university academic and he's married an Australian. And it says, you come from a very small village in Tuvalu and then you're in a city, Mr. Katara says. It goes on to say, you're looking for a job. You're looking for a place to stay. You need to set up your banking. You have to have a tax file number and all of those sorts of things. That's what I went through, obviously, on the island, where you're free of government control when it comes to all of these sorts of things, and you have your own economic system and you don't need to be locked into a digital existence. Gosh, that sounds like I want to live in Tuvalu, to be honest with you. But these are the things that he's preparing these people who are being ripped from their homes to come and, you know, get a tax file number and get an ID and probably get a digital ID. These guys, what's the bet that the condition of them going over to Australia, now that it has a digital ID, they'll be told they have to hook up to that social credit system in order to move? We do not think about things like your rental history, your credit rating, all those sorts of things that can come into play when you rent property. So he's talking about the difficulty of trying to rent, trying to survive, trying to come to Australia from another country, being a tribesman, how difficult that is. So what's the solution for these people that are being pushed out of their homes by managed retreat? Well, they're going to have to depend on the government to relocate them and make that relocation simpler for them, therefore government services, therefore complying with everything the government does. What I'm asking people to do as I'm reading you this example of Tuvalu is imagine this in a rural town in Idaho. Imagine this in a rural town in New Zealand, like they showed you before, that they fully intend on implementing managed retreat in New Zealand. We played that clip before. And mind you, it doesn't have to be a climate catastrophe, although I think originally they will probably use climate catastrophes, disasters, floods, hurricanes, things of this nature, to convince people that this place is no longer safe. They will do that. We have that example from Lismore in Australia, for example. But eventually their climate modelling will just say, sorry, this is too dangerous, and the government has deemed that you can't live here anymore. And it's okay, don't worry, we already did it to an entire island named Tuvalu. It's fine. We'll give you a free VR headset so you can visit your home. The UN has described Tuvalu, which has a population of about 11,000, as being on the extreme front lines of the global climate emergency. Really? Well, that's really interesting, because we have picture 18. Crew, if we can bring up picture 18, this is Craig Kelly, a former politician in Australia. Tuvalu is not sinking. It's actually growing in size, ignoring the climate grifters and follow the science. So this is a Nature publication that actually says results highlight a net increase in the land area in Tuvalu of 73.5 hectares, 2.9%, despite sea level rise and land area increase in 8 of 9 atolls. In fact, island change has lacked uniformity, with 74% increasing and 27% decreasing in size. It happens. It's an island. But this UN monster Guterres in picture 19 is sitting here. If we can just bring up picture 19 on Time Magazine, our sinking planet with water to his knees, saying, this is apparently the water of Tuvalu, saying our sinking planet. So again, that Nature article actually shows that a net increase in land in Tuvalu of 73.5 hectares despite sea level rise and land area increase in 8 of 9 atolls. It actually says results challenge perceptions of island loss. And so look how easy it's been for them to go and prey on these people on a little island who have a traditional way of life, who aren't necessarily plugged into the matrix to understand every single scam that's out there, so that they know that this is actually the UN Agenda 2030 coming for them. They've just gone, they've plucked them out, they've moved them to another country, and they've told them you can go back through the metaverse. Through a lie, through an actual lie, they've told them that they're sinking when actually their land has increased. So how much do you think they will lie if they've done it to a whole country? How much do you think they will lie to do it to a small country town? Don't go anywhere. We have more on this after this short break.
Telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward. If we've got to set up a new operation, and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man, but I'm not just a man, just like you. No matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe, who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. That's why the system hates you and fears you, and that's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight, and I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer, but I can't fight this fight without you. And that's why I want you always to remember that I appreciate you and I thank you, because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's a thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Stop
supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today. You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at ban.video.
Gave everyone a shot that makes them infertile before they gave everyone an injection that will kill them off. They tested this on Africans before they tell people that they need to move out of their homes because of climate change and relocate to a city, a smart city. They tested it on Tuvalu, and that's what we've just been covering in this past 20 minutes. Now we're going to talk, I'm just going to show you a little bit more about the backup plan for Tuvalu, and then I'm going to show you that this is actually also planned for the U.S. And it's pretty much, it's in every single country, and it's not always called managed retreat, by the way. And in fact, I have some of those other names here. So communities consider managed retreat from climate change, it says. And it gives an example of this particular person, Ricky Wright, pointing to the bank of a creek to show one way his hometown has been affected by climate change. He's part of the Gullah Geechee, a group of black Americans who descended from slaves and live off the coasts of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. I would say it's depressing to lose a place like that, especially if you grew up there, he says. And so this article goes on to say this is a huge issue. By my reckoning, there will be 30 million people who are displaced by mid-century, and there will be mass migrations in the United States, said Stephen Eisenman, director of strategy for the Anthropocene Alliance, a climate and environmental justice group. The biggest question is whether the retreats are planned and methodical or unplanned and chaotic. So they're saying, well, just so that it doesn't have to be chaotic, we can preemptively move people out of these areas. Oh. Forms of managed retreat have existed in the U.S. since at least 1989, when FEMA began buying properties in flood-prone areas. Does that surprise anyone whatsoever? With help from government buyouts, some communities simply move to nearby areas that are less prone to disaster. Others migrate to different parts of the country or to different countries altogether. Buyouts are not the only component. Other strategies include restoring habitats, replacing concrete-laden areas with green space, and using zoning laws to limit development in troubled places. Do you know what that means? That means declaring it a, you know, under the Wildlands Project, or, you know, declaring it a protected area and essentially banning humans from ever going there again using zoning laws. This is now protected. The government, has this listed as protected land. And by the way, we did it under UN 30 by 30. So it's actually UN protected land. And you can't go here anymore. And right now in Australia, they're doing that under the guise of sort of tribal, you know, protected lands. Biden's just done it as well in Alaska. Millions and millions of acres where human beings are now banned from going, essentially. And it doesn't expressly say that, but that is what it will be. In Australia, I've told you guys before, there is a man facing prison time for building a little bridge on his own property over a creek. Now, that's part of sort of the UN pretending to work with the indigenous communities agenda, but it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all about limiting your use of your own land, limiting your ability to live where you want to live, and ultimately through a multifaceted attack approach, getting you into a smart city. And so it says parts of Florida, California, and New York could someday need to use the same strategy. Now, they don't always call it managed retreat, so it's really important that people understand this. It is also called, it says proponents are starting to adopt other language, including planned relocation and climate migration. So it's important to be aware of some of those terms that you may hear, planned relocation, climate migration, anything of this nature, you just need to be aware of so that you can, you know what's going on. If you see these terms, your area is under attack. And I really do encourage everyone, especially if you live out in a rural community, see if there have been any discussions about managed retreat, climate mitigation, anything of this nature in your community. I recently gave a talk in a community meeting here in Central Texas, and I informed them that Brownsville is actually a smart city now, and they were shocked. They had no idea. I bet many people in Brownsville didn't know that either. It's a recent sign up. They've just started. It's really important to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in your local areas. So just on Tuvalu, the backup plan is that because of the impacts of climate change, they're going to force it to create a digital copy of itself in the metaverse. But in the real world, not everyone's convinced. The threat of total evacuation in the decades to come is being treated as serious by the country's leaders, with the UN describing it as being on the extreme front lines of the global climate emergency. And then it says, our country is actually preparing to move completely online, operating from cyberspace. So that is what the AI World Society is. That is the plan for everyone. Even if they manage to get you into a smart city, the plan is for you to live out your existence on the internet, online, kind of like, you know, what's that Bruce Willis movie where he, you know, plugs in and then lives out his life in the metaverse and then unplugs and his wife's in the other room and she's really unhappy. I can't remember the name of the movie, but if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And eventually someone just unplugs them all. They all drop one day. Surrogates. That's the one. Thank you, Karu. Surrogates. That's the one. That's kind of what the UN describes they want our lives to be like. I'm not even kidding. If you haven't seen it, go to zmedia.com or band.video and watch my series on UN 100. You will freak. You will freak at what these people have planned. So it says, what is a digital nation? Some governments are now experimenting in this space to create smart cities. For example, Singapore, an island city-state also combating the effects of rising sea levels, has created a digital twin of its entire country. Singapore's government has created a digital twin of the city-state. The digital twin is fed real-time data on weather conditions and human movement to help city planners make informed decisions in the physical world. So they build this digital twin. They tell you, oh, we're building the digital twin so that we can have AI assess what the real city needs. And this is, again, I'm going to go back to this. When I was researching geoengineering and I found all these projects listed on the NOAA's website, NOAA, and they had weather modification in Utah, weather modification in California, snowpacks in Colorado, this, that, the other. I was shocked at just how much they were publishing. Sometimes it was the city working with these private contractors. Sometimes it was, you know, the names of the private contractors conducting this stuff, energy companies doing these spraying, weather modification operations, and openly listing that they were putting poisons into the atmosphere. And I thought, how is this possible? And then I found that that NOAA had a mandate through their OMIC strategy to upload all of this into the cloud by 2025. I've repeated this information a million times over, but I'm going to keep going because I'm not sure people get it. Not saying you don't, others. So They have a mandate to update it all, upload it all into the cloud by 2025 under their Omics strategy so that AI can do their climate modeling. Now, what do you think happens when you give AI, a large language model that learns based on what you feed it, information that says that in order to keep temperatures normal, you've had to do geoengineering 50 times a day? Well, that AI is going to come back and say, we need to do more geoengineering, right? For the climate. So what's going to happen when they build these digital twins and feed the AI large language model that says, oh, look, you know, humans being out too much today. The Melbourne experiment, right? UN Melbourne experiment. Humans being out too much today is causing further climate change. We're watching them all. We're watching the traffic. We're watching all of this. So we need to keep them inside more. And then as they slowly incorporate AI into all of their governance and policy creation, which they're already starting to do, AI says, oh, because of climate change, we need to keep people indoors more. You've got to create laws around it. Sorry. That's what AI said, guys. This is what we have to do to save the planet. Oh, and by the way, AI also said you can't live here on this mountain anymore. And when I first exposed the smart city agenda and the Melbourne experiment on the Alex Jones show about 2 years ago now, when I first saw those maps and I saw the city of Sydney in Australia is going to be split into three what they call districts and the border ends at the mountains, guys. I know that city. I live there most of my life. The border ends at the mountains. Humans not allowed to go into nature. That is the plan. So whether what's happening in North Carolina is related to managed retreat or not, I think it's very, very important because we heard some rumors about people there being told that their properties will be affected, that they won't be able to go back, a government may buy up, all of that sort of stuff. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I can tell you that managed retreat is absolutely real and this is already happening. So it says further. Actually, we'll leave that article for now. I want to show you this. Managed retreat done right can reinvent cities so they're better for everyone and avoid harm from flooding, heat, and fires. So it's not just storms. It's not just coastal areas. It's also heat. It's also fires. It's also if the wind blows a little fast today. It's also if someone sneezes in Croatia. It's if someone wears the same pair of socks for 2 days in Singapore. Everything's causing climate change, guys. June's record-breaking heat wave, this is the conversation, left more than 40 million Americans sweltering in temperatures over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Some places reached 120 degrees Fahrenheit and energy grids were struggling to keep people cool. But let's switch to solar, yeah? Let's stop the energy production. Let's switch to solar and green, which will never produce enough energy for the entire population so that people have less energy, shall we? The energy grid's already struggling, so let's make it struggle more and blame it on climate change. This aspect of the agenda is so convoluted, ladies and gentlemen. It's so wicked, so sinister. It could only be devised by the most wicked of people, Satan himself. I'm not even kidding. More than half of the western U.S. is now in extreme or exceptional drought. Wildfires are already menacing homes and hurricane season is off to another busy start. This is what climate change looks like and communities need to be prepared. It's also what the government interfering in the weather looks like. And by the way, we've had fires and hurricanes and rain and wind and all sorts of weather since the dawn of man. And yeah, sometimes it gets tragic. I'm talking about without government intervention. It can be tragic. And people over the years have learned to prepare for disasters and manage it themselves and get themselves out of dangerous situations. And if they make a stupid decision or if they happen to get caught in danger, it happens. It happens. This life, you can't live forever. I'm not trying to, you know, diminish what's happening to people right now. I'm just trying to say from the government's point of view, they behave like they have to intervene so that we can live forever. We can't live forever and we don't want you in our lives, in our kitchens, in our bedrooms, in our backyards, in my closet. If I want to live in a flood-prone area and forfeit my insurance and not bother anyone about it, I will bloody do so. Sometimes small adaptations can reduce the heat or minimize the damage, but when the risks get too high, one strategy that has to be considered, we have to consider this, is managed retreat. The purposeful movement of people, buildings, and other infrastructure away from highly hazardous places. And who determines what highly hazardous is? Well, right now it's a bunch of NGOs, but if they have it their way, it'll be AI models that have been fed that every single place other than a smart city is highly hazardous. Do you see how this works? Managed retreat is controversial. You don't say. You don't say. Telling people that they have to move off an island that they've lived for God knows how many years and their ancestors have lived and all their memories are there and they're tied to this island and they don't want to leave and they don't actually have a problem with rising sea levels. You don't say that that may be a little controversial. It's controversial, particularly in the United States, but it isn't just about moving. It's about adapting to change and building communities that are safer, addressing long overlooked needs and incorporating new technologies and thoughtful design for living and working in today's world, because your existence is to work in today's world. Your existence is to serve the establishment. Your existence is to live for the government and pay more and more and more taxes so that they can keep creating wars to accelerate their great reset agenda, which further makes you more and more useless. That's what life's about, guys. These people are sick. These people are maniacs. They will destroy every aspect of our lives. They will rip our entire life from our hands if we don't stop them. And I know you all know that. I'm not ranting at you. I'm ranting with you. Finally, I want to show you this insurance document in the last few minutes that we have here. This is from Zurich. What is managed retreat and is it a viable response to climate change? And they mention here New Zealand, which we just played you a clip of before. New Zealand's first national adaptation plan includes most of the climate resilient options you would expect to find. Nature-based and hard engineering solutions such as wetlands and seawalls feature prominently, as do upgrades to properties and infrastructure to withstand more extreme weather and initiatives to educate and prepare communities for climate risks. That means convince you that your community shouldn't be, you shouldn't live in that community anymore. That's what that translation means from UN gibberish to actual English. But what grabbed attention is the rest of the title read, including managed retreat. And they talk here about it also being called managed realignment. So please be familiar with that term as well. Managed realignment is another word that they may use. Involves the strategic relocation of people, buildings, and other assets across from, areas vulnerable to climate change and natural hazards. Areas vulnerable to the weather. That is what this is saying. They're going to move your family, your assets, everything from an area that's vulnerable to the weather. I don't know if you know this, guys, but the sun shines and the wind blows in plenty of places. They say that the concept of retreating whole communities is gaining credence. And that given the current situation of climate change, which is the weather, it is not a question of whether communities will retreat, but rather where, when, and how, says the climate director at Zurich. They have a climate director. So they actually say here that in summer of 1993, the farming community of I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's Valmeyer, Illinois, was flooded twice in a month when the swollen Mississippi River topped its levee system. The flood water lingered for months, damaging 90% of properties. Faced with rebuilding the town and risking further flooding, the 900 residents instead decided to move their entire town, New Valmeyer, on higher ground a mile away. So that is a little bit different to being told you don't have a choice. That is a town deciding, okay, we've had some problems here. It's becoming too difficult for us to rebuild on our own. We don't need the government to come in and tell me anything. We're just common sense people and saying we'll just move higher up the mountain maybe. But they say that due to the threat of rising sea levels and storm surge, not just sea levels, guys, storms as well, because that's something that's unprecedented. We've never had rain. We've never had wind. Mind you, we probably haven't had it at the levels of manipulation that it is now. But just, I'm talking about the stupidity that they're convincing people with. Due to storms, the coastal village of Fairbourne in West Wales, UK, will needs to. It's been mandated. It's been told you have to do this to adopt a policy of managed realignment between 2025 and 2055. It will require the relocation of properties, businesses, and 850 residents. Then the area will be turned back into a tidal salt marsh. So these people don't have the choice. They've been mandated that by this year, you need to relocate your entire town. What do you think a place of 850 residents really looks like? Are these people quite independent? Did they get the COVID injections? Did they listen to the lockdown requirements? Do you think that they may be able to function without a digital currency and a central bank digital currency and a digital ID and that they just kind of have their own barter system and they don't really need big pharma? And probably don't need to be, you know, on the Google surveillance grid and on the iPhone that, you know, knows your thoughts. And maybe these people are quite safe from the government. Do you think that that may be the case in Fairbourne in the west of Wales, UK? Because I think maybe that's the reason why they want them out of there. And I think, just a hunch, that this is the way that they're going to come after independent people, moving them into areas forcibly eventually where they can be controlled. It won't be instant and, you know, it's going to be very difficult to do it all over the place, but bit by bit they're starting to. They're starting to in New Zealand. We already have a case in Australia. They're fighting back as we speak. And they're trying to condition already the United States. They're actually talking here about Indonesia's capital city is planning to do it as well. It's one thing to move a small town or village. It's another when you try to undertake a managed retreat from a megacity. That's what Jakarta, Indonesia's capital city, plans to do. Jakarta is one of the 570 coastal cities vulnerable to sea level changes. Jakarta is a very, very famous holiday destination. It's wonderful for Indonesia's tourism industry. They don't care about that. They don't care about the tourism industry because they actually want to end travel. They want you miserable and living in pods forever. They don't want you to have a natural life. They want you to have an artificial life where you are, you know, half man, half cyborg and can't think for yourself. Because no matter what, the ultimate goal is the mark of the beast. That is the ultimate goal. That is the reason for all of it. It's yes, follow the money. Yes, they want more control. Yes, 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 yes. At the top of all of those reasons, if you look at it like a pyramid and follow the money's here and control is here, the top reason, the absolute top reason is the mark of the beast. And tomorrow I'm going to have a little bit on that for you. I just did a really, really important interview on that very topic last week, and I think we've discovered some very important technology from a transhumanism conference that's happening this month, and I think that it's going to be something that a lot of people want to hear about. I'm not going to air the whole interview, obviously. If you want to watch it tonight, you can. It's up on band.video. It's Hope and Devon, Mark of the Beast Technology Exposed. You can also watch it on the homepage of zmedia.com. That's zeeemedia.com. It's up on our Rumble as well. So we are on all of those platforms. Very, very important. But I'm going to dig into some of that. I do encourage you to watch it tonight even, but I'm going to dig into some of that tomorrow about some of this technology that we've sort of uncovered in the process of digging through what these transhumanist maniacs are doing and how this all links up to essentially everything that we've been talking about today. And that report that we did last week on the American Journal about the bioterrorism, biodefense agenda. and how they're essentially saying that how climate plays into this, the change, you know, climate change with pandemics, with this, with that. And they're going to say, oh, well, this area is prone to pandemics and therefore that also impacts the climate, or vice versa. This area is prone to climate change, which actually impacts pandemics. And the human beings going into nature here is causing climate change. And so managed retreat. And you can bet your bottom dollar that you will start seeing disaster zones in America. Maybe not this time around, but perhaps in the near future, being pushed under this managed retreat agenda. So please protect your local communities. Please share this segment today with everyone to let them know, to educate them on this agenda and make sure they're standing against it. We've got a really, really huge broadcast tomorrow. I'm very, very excited about a special guest, but I'm going to keep it a surprise for the morning. So I will see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central. Alex Jones Show coming up. God bless.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Finally, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock and now available for 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. This specially formulated drink mix gives your body the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds that support optimum health. Vitamin Mineral Fusion goes above and beyond the standard of vitamins and trace minerals. Our exclusive formula is loaded with 34 key ingredients, including vitamin C, E, D, B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, L-glutamine, CoQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, folic acid riboflavin, and much more. Aside from bolstering your bodily functions, this drink mix is naturally delicious. And unlike capsules and vitamin pills, it's truly a pleasure to the taste buds. So if you haven't already, mix it up and take your health to the next level with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.